Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses, and so very excited to have been born and raised in the city of Riviera Beach. Excited to be hosting this podcast with my co-host, Dan Calloway, and our very special guest today, Ms. Deborah Hall McCullough. After reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Ruffa Conwell, I'm still convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds that we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Deborah McCullough attended Florida A&M University, where she studied magazine production and newspaper writing, article writing. She was also a sports and generalist assignment reporter for the award-winning campus newspaper, the FAMUN. She also interned with the Tallahassee Democrat. She was a radio announcer on the campus radio station WAMF. In 1989, Deborah became the first African-American female bookshelfer for the Leon County Public Library. Her love for writing and gospel music encouraged her to start her own digital magazine and internet radio program, South Florida Gospel News. I remember that very well, Deborah. Excellent. She was also a co-host of Sunday Morning Inspirations with Brother Sanford Ward on C106.3 FM. Deborah also went on to become the founder of the Florida Black Sports Hall of Fame. In recent years, Deborah has been highlighting the city of Riviera Beach and promoting the good within Riviera Beach using hashtag Love My City. She wrote a series of books of Riviera Beach entitled Riviera Beach Moments, Volume 1 through 3, highlighting the great leaders that come from Riviera Beach. Riviera Beach Moments, Volume 4, will be released in September 2022 for the 100th anniversary celebration of the city of Riviera Beach. And with that thought and those comments, we want to welcome you to the program, Deborah, and I'll turn it over to none other than our host, Mr. Dan Calloway.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. Deborah,
yes?
With that brilliant background, and because you deserve everything about that, we don't need to talk right now about your educational background. You know, everybody know you were top of your class on the day you got into school. I need to get right into your next book. You said it's going to come out
okay.
in September. Now, is that
yeah.
the sequel of the first books? You know, you highlighted.
Yes.
Go ahead. Because you highlighted so many people who contribute in the county. Because of February is right around the corner in Black history, and one of the great performers of our time, Sidney Poitier, died the other day at 94, I think. We're going to have something coming up with the 100-year anniversary about Black history, with all the people who started here and even the ones who never been here. Because when you were in school, and especially when your mother and father were in school, you had Black History Month. I don't think you celebrate February like they used to. Give me a little highlight about Black history, which is next month, and what you plan on doing it, and with and pertaining to the 100 year.
Okay, yes. So the next book, Riviera Beach Moments, Volume 4,
will come out in September 2022. I'm currently working on it. And actually, Black History Month is how I actually got started with Riviera Beach Moments through Facebook posts. So I used the people who came from here, who lived here, such as yourself, to highlight the good of Riviera Beach, and that began in 2019. So during that time, I was able to pull from what I learned working at the Riviera Beach Library in the Black History Room that Ms. Sutton started on the second floor of our library at that time. I pulled information from there, and I started researching the people that I knew from here that had made contributions to the great city of Riviera Beach, and I used that for Black History Month. And so the teachers started sharing my Facebook posts with their students in school because, like you said, a lot of schools don't even acknowledge Black History Month anymore. And, you know, there's a thing going around where they really don't want Black history taught in schools at all now. But I started making those Facebook posts, and the teachers started sharing it. And a young lady who works at our library now suggested that I take those Facebook posts and turn it into a book. And that's how I got Riviera Beach Moments started. And the more information that I shared, the more I wanted to research. And I also had people reaching out to me, providing me information for the books. And then also, I learned that, as you said, not everybody lived in Riviera Beach or from Riviera Beach that made contributions, but I could find ties to the city where they had visited here or something that they did for the advancement of Black people. Well, I could go ahead and include them in my book volumes. So with Black History Month coming up, I plan on resharing those posts on my social media pages, and hopefully, you know, it will pique an interest for people to learn more about Black history and the great contributions that Black people have made in this country and around the world.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, I had a meeting, I think it was 2 months ago, with two former councilmen, councilor person, Cynthia Becton, you know her well, and you know her well. And, of course, Roseanne Brown, she just retired from the city maybe a couple of years ago. And the reason why I met with them, and the other one who retired from the city of Riviera, a person, a friend of mine by the name of Robbie Littles, and he was your in that, what is that, human resource thing?
He was the risk manager.
Risk management. Well, and of course, he is one of the historians in West Palm Beach and Palm Beach County, and an advocate for years fighting for Black people. I told them to go and chronologize, and they both, all of them, suggest talking to you. I don't know whether they have contacted you or not, because I haven't gotten back, because I want them to put something together, and I'm going to get with your IT people. I've already told Dr. Botel and Doug Lawson, I want to use, what is the name, the guy who does a tremendous job for your IT, would put the count, Walter.
Walter.
Yes. And, I mean, I don't know, is he still doing that, but I know when he interviewed me months and months ago, it was him who had it and putting it together. Well, anyway, I think that we're going to do something. I need to bring back former council persons like that and people who work on the city, especially inside like you are and other people. You get a better bird's eye view of really where the city was and where it is now and where you are expected to go. Now, what better person to bring up a lot of this information? See, you brought up about the library. And the library is supposed to be the strength of any city or county to get information. So my next question is, do you think, as I'm one of the people they asked to put a lot of programs together for the 12 months. And basically, we got most everything up to now to Juneteenth. I was told by Doug Lawson that other day in the council meeting, the Martin Luther King parade was canceled because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do it in June when we have Juneteenth. Now, why Juneteenth is so important, which we're putting with our committee, we're putting together, because not too long ago they made it a national holiday, which you should have had it a long time ago. Now, up in North Central Florida and Northwest Florida, there's a lot of places there have been celebrating Juneteenth for a long time. And we're behind. So would you expound a little about the 100th year, what you think should happen with February coming right around the corner, and then tell me what we can do to start on putting together some great things for Juneteenth?
Okay, yeah, definitely. I think that we should do something for Black History Month, especially involving our library, maybe a display of some of the artifacts there. They do have a lot of books and other artifacts from the African-American room since they moved over to the new spot. And then also tying in our 100-year anniversary, we have a lot of artifacts, you know, paperwork in our city clerk's office that we can put on display as well. And then also leading up to Juneteenth, since we're going to be possibly doing the parade in June, maybe leading up to that celebration, since it is the day when the troops arrived in Galveston, Texas in 1865, you know, it was announced that, you know, slavery had ended. I think that we should make that a really big celebration for that weekend. And I am praying that COVID will go away so that we can have the 5K run and do the parade and everything that was canceled for January 15th. And then also from that point, I think that we should do something every month leading up to September. Whether it's a video presentation or something that we could get together and let people actually see how far the city has come in the past 100 years. So I don't know what we could do every month, but you know, to come up with something, just make it's going to be a year long celebration anyway. But as we approach that September date, every month we'll talk about maybe the first mayor of Riviera Beach and the first female mayor of Riviera Beach. We'll do something to highlight the people that started the whole thing and brought us along the way.
Well, this is the reason why I asked Cynthia Becton and Ann Isles and Roseanne Brown to get. And I thought they probably had already called you because your name was the first name brought up in there. Everybody was saying, we need to talk to you. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
I think that we are doing something every month. Now, I'll just give you a case in point.
Okay.
Three days ago, I told Doug Lawson yesterday, but I told the mayor Friday, and I talked to Dr. Botel Thursday. We are going on the last Saturday in February. We're going to be at Cunningham Park, probably from 12 o'clock to 6. You in between two schools, Washington Elementary School, right west of it, in a butt right there west of it on 29th Street. And we're going to come from over at R.J. Henley Christian School. Uh-huh. And we're going to do some things for the schools in conjunction with the whole community of feeding them. And of course, it's Black History Month. Everything is free because we got a committee and the mayor is in charge of that. And we've asked, actually, our host here is going to ask her class, the class of 72, to help us serve. We got all the funds we need to take care of what we need to do. But we have to get back and teach the kids about Black history. It's not taught in the schools, but it's our responsibility to let people know the plight and the plight of Black people, where we are now.
Right.
And, of course, one of the reasons he asked me to be in the position I am, because at 84 years of age, I was born on this avenue, 3017, right there, a stone throw right from the park we're going to be. We have to tell the story. I think you're telling the story, and a lot of us, but we are not doing enough of that. I think we got to get the churches, and that was one of the things that the mayor wanted our staff and everybody to help them get all the ministers to get together and put up a stipend every month that will go out and help with the least, the lost, and the left out, particularly the senior citizens who may need painting of the house, windows need to be fixed, the roof or whatever, along with the help from the city. See, years ago, as a boy, nobody had the doors. Didn't have no. Most of us didn't have running water and lights. You had lamps. But you could go to anybody's house, and there was always some food. They want you to have something to eat. Everybody was a family. And this is this is something I think, and I need your opinion about that for the listening audience to know that when you act in a city and everybody is a family and you respect everybody, it minimizes the crime, number one. So you got crime now. But when I was coming, we didn't have all this. We looked after each other because I think everybody looked down on us because they called us wood boys, wood girls. And now everybody want to live in Riviera. I think that we need to go back and make the pulpit the starting point. I think the ministers need to do better. I don't have no problem saying that because I tell them that. Because they have a captive audience every Sunday. And all the information that you have and I have and Ann has, we need to get that to them, and they can tell the parishioners we need to do this, do that. See, more people will listen to the minister than anybody else. It's not the mayor. It's not the city manager. But the ministers are still the most important people in our society because they have a captive audience, and they have we got to get the respect of the cloth from here on in. Now, what are you thinking about that?
I think that that's an excellent idea. There is an organization of the ministers in Palm Beach County. Forgive me, I cannot remember the name of it. But, yes, they do have a captive audience every week and a great platform for getting out information about Black history, helping to organize the events, and most importantly, to contribute monetarily every month to make sure that the programs go forward to reach the people that need it the most. You have to know your history or you will be doomed to repeat it. So I think that that is an excellent idea.
I think that all I have to do is have Dr. Botel or the mayor, Doug Lawson, to call your supervisor, or you the supervisor. Who do they call you? Direct to
that would be
meet.
City clerk.
Okay, we have to go through all I have to do because of Dr. Botel and J.P. Dickerson. They brought your name up in a meeting. Everybody bring your name up in the meeting when we are having about with the 100-year celebration. And I know that we got the Mayor's Cup, the golf tournament, the third Saturday. And on the fourth Saturday, we're going to be at Washington. And I need to have that meeting in the next 2 weeks. So am I to have Audie to call you, or do I have to have one of the commissioners?
Well, he can call me, and I'll make them aware. Mrs. McBride, the deputy city manager,
okay.
And the city clerk, I will make them aware.
Well, good. So Liz McBride is your immediate supervisor?
No, but she, my immediate supervisor is the city clerk, and Ms. McBride is over our entire department.
Good, good. Okay, well, you know, so in the next 2 weeks, and because I know about the sunshine law, you can't be having more than one in a meeting at a time. So what I usually do is let one be there 15 minutes and leave, and then the other one will come in, and then the mayor. We have to do that because the wealth of knowledge that you have, and also a writer. You may even want to make a movie and have somebody I know well to play Sidney Poitier to come in here, whatever. That would be something. The other thing is, when we had a month ago, Old Holy Night, that was the gospel, the Christmas Carol program over at Inlet Grove Auditorium. And on the 18th of December, we were at Goodmark Park, over 3,000 people there. That was in conjunction with the class of 72 and the Youth Recreation Association. And who sponsored that was Trodrick McCoy. That's his district. Now, his district is also the same place we're going to be in February over at Washington. But the mayor, who's, you know, there, his father who just passed and his uncle, they ran the place right there on S Avenue. He asked for it to be there. And she want a place. I think she wanted it at the Callaway Complex because she lives, Lanier lives in Federal Garden, and they use the Callaway Complex more for their outing. So the commissioners are asking because they want to go and give the message to the people where they can feed them and can relax. And somebody may give us information that will help the law enforcement personnel solve some of the problems. And until we act people-friendly, everybody on and off the street, the highways and the byways, we're not going to really get where we are going and reach that amicably where everybody show a lot of respect for brotherhood. I think we need to get the respect back for people. And I need you to elaborate a little on that.
I agree. One of the things that I do know is a person may not remember much when they meet you, but they remember how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is important for us to come back to, like you said, a sense of family. First of all, to acknowledge a person and to listen to them. And I think that especially with COVID, we've gotten
mm-hmm.
away from that sense of family. Even where I work now, it is, you know, everything is separated and closed off, and you can't go in this department. And I have fellow employees that are friends of mine that I have not seen since last year because
mm-hmm.
we're limited in our movement at work. So I think that getting back to a sense of family, acknowledging, listening, and especially sharing information is very important in building on relationships, especially when it comes to our police officers and the community. We have some that I see all over, you know, at the events. I see them all the time, and that's a great thing. But if we could get back to actually getting them back into the neighborhoods and speak directly with our kids, I think that will make a very big difference. And I remember in my upbringing, there were mentors that I had in my church that took me places that I my parents couldn't afford to send me, but they were able to send me to plays and college campuses and other things that really made an impact in my life. And so, yes, I do believe that we have to get back to a sense of family, you know, in each one teach one. Let's get back to that and sharing information and helping one another. And I think that that will truly help to make our entire city better.
Well, you know, everything is two ways. You know, that's why we have right and wrong, north and south or whatever. To give something, to receive something, you got to learn to give something. I think that your father was in law enforcement when I first started in law enforcement. After that, one thing I learned in law enforcement, you got to be people friendly. What I mean by that, looking mean and want to put somebody in jail is not the answer. You don't have enough jails and you don't have enough lawmen to monitor every corner on riverside, roadside, back alleys or whatever to find out where all the crime is committed. So the best way is when the church have functions, somebody represent the church. When you have picnics like we had over at Goodmont Park and we're going to have over at Cunningham Park and the rest of them, be there. You're there to help serve maybe the food, talk to people. People love to talk to people out because they don't get a chance. You take all the mayor and the council. That's what they're supposed to do. Go back into their bowries, the back doors, and say, hey, man, how y'all doing? Is anything I can do? Ask them if they have a job. Try to get a job for them. You know, when ESPN interviewed me, and they did it for the wrong reason back in 95, it was all about me sending all the kids to college. And all the athletes always, even from the Glades, always would call because I made that a concerted effort to try to get kids into colleges. And by getting them good players with a scholarship, I would tell a college to give me a freebie to send someone else. All I want them to get a degree, get that experience. Whether they play anything or not, that's up to them. The thing about it is we have to be, sir, good parents. That's just all to it. I would think that right now 60% of the people are more without two parents in the house. And I say this because last month on Christmas Eve, the Singer Violin Association, they gave presents, gifts to 243 kids who signed up. The Youth Recreation Association fed, putting their 400 people their lunch. And sometimes we forget about people who live in housing, government housing, like that it's a new name to it now, but it's still Stony Brook to me. We have to go in there and help those people out. When I say that, because there's not no very few husband and wife in there, because mostly it's single parenting. And then maybe they have the grandparents. And then people have been living in there for 30 and 40 years. It's recycling. We have to show people that they have to go and get a job. And I've been taught by our host here about finance, how we need to teach the kids about investment, things that we weren't privy to. And now we can't make that mistake no more. See, because of what we started last year for about 10 kids, we asked them to give us $20 a month, but they didn't have the money. We put the money up, and now in August come when they're supposed to be say $20 a month, which would be $240. That's what it is, 12 times 20. And we invest that in there. That because I learned that from and McNeil and her daughter. They're the one brought that up. And the daughter's willing to teach those classes. I think that we have to take the bar up much higher than years ago. Your generation, forget about mine because we didn't know anything. But your generation set the tone. And the generation after that, every generation got to make the next generation better than what they had. Now, how you feel about that?
I absolutely agree with that. That's something that I guess I was taught by my parents. And that's one of the things that I do through the Florida Black Sports Hall of Fame, which is also a nonprofit. What my husband and I do, we save our money from our paycheck. And once a year, we give out scholarships to high school and college kids. And we make them write an essay about an athlete in Florida. Doesn't have to be Black, but we prefer that they choose one or a team or a coach. We make them write a one-page essay about an athlete, and then we provide them with a scholarship check. We've done sponsorships for sports teams here. And what we're trying to do is teach kids that, hey, you know, regardless of your circumstances, the way you were raised or born, you can make your life better, but you have to start. You have to start, and I think it's very good about the programs in what is now Azure Apartments, I think that's what it's known as, which is Stony Brook, to be able to shine a light over there and teach them about finances, saving money. That's something that everyone needs to know. But in order to make their situation better, they have to know how to manage money and how to save money. So I think that's excellent, and I wish that there are more people involved to help them. I think that it's great that the Friends of Riviera Beach Schools go over there and provide school supplies, Christmas toys, whatever it is they need, furniture, I've heard. And if more organizations could help out with that, that will make their life better, which will make them more productive citizens as they grow up, be more responsible financially and to better themselves and move from government assistance on to become homeowners. It's possible.
That is true.
But you got to know how to do it.
And the key thing that you said over and over there, that we have to teach them about saving money. And we, first of all, we're going to teach them how to work, get a job, and not depend on the government. See, food stamps and Section 8 and all that stuff with that free rent, that was supposed to be an emergency thing, not to live off this the rest of your life. And you don't want to work because they're going to take this from you. You need to be trained. If we have to go back, when I was in school, along with your mother and father, they had the DCT program. And what they would do, they would train them in automotive mechanic, and they would train them in building. We had woodwork. And then they had somebody in what they call it, when they're cooking, teaching them how to cook in homemade economics or something like that, where mostly they had the females. They didn't have any males going, but after that, males started going in that because 90% of the chef cooks are males anyhow. The thing that we need to go, whatever was limited when I was in school, but we had some things in school they don't have right now, so we were better off then because we had all those teachers. And I went to an all-Black school. I never went to a mixed school because it's my time. And the teachers I had was like Sir Good Parents. They looked at us like we were their child. And I can't thank them enough. I only have one or two left, like Mr. McDonald. And one other one, Mrs. Hutnell and all that group are gone. And Mrs. Holliday and Mr. Sales was our principal. Those people were just great people. And I think that what we need to do is highlight the educators. And see, the bad thing about the educators, most of our educators don't live in Riviera because most of the kids don't even go to school in Riviera when they get up in junior high and high school. Yeah. See, we're like a city where nomads, they got to travel. See, there's a committee right now working to get with the school board to build another high school here. and not to have one like our great Suncoast, which is fabulous because it's world-renowned because of the grade level and what it takes. But you've got to have a regular high school where people can go in and call it home. See, when you're getting up every day, going up out to Palm Beach Garden, the ones that have got to go to Palm Beach Lakes, when do you have the tradition when a homecoming? We don't have the homecoming teams and everybody, the parents can get ready to go to the games and they can come home from work right quick and hustle over to the football, the baseball, or the gym to see their child perform or whatever, or school plays, because they're always out of the city limit of Riviera. We furnish at least 11 schools, middle school to high school, with the students from Riviera. Now, what you going to say about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I actually didn't think about how the kids in the city, junior high and high school, they have to go to school outside of the city. And, of course, yeah, we have to do better about getting our information out to them, which is one of the reasons that, you know, every so often I try to box up some of these books and send them to the schools so that they can share them in their library so that the kids can read about the people who come from Riviera Beach. But I didn't, I just that you mentioned it. They are bused outside to West Palm and Palm Beach Gardens. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Excuse me one second. I've been sitting here patiently now, but I cannot keep sitting here. This subject right now, the two of you are discussing regarding why we are talking about the city, the volumes of books that have been written, hashtag I am Riviera Beach. We will become the last of the volume if we don't do something to do more about the discussion that we're having. And simply what I'm saying is, as I'm thinking about what both of you are talking about, I just think about the fact that we're not building our own city anymore after the class of the 70s, 80s, and those. When you look at cities like Belgrade, Pahokee, they don't have the problem we're having as we're discussing our city, because they do have their schools and have had their schools. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And they're able to continue to build community and build the people who are coming from that school, and exactly what you're saying, Mr. Calloway. But what happens to all of us, and I'm so glad you had that aha moment, Deborah, because I felt it in my spirit when you say, yeah, that's right. But we're not having the conversation. You know, we're not discussing that. And so even this committee, Mr. Calloway, that you're talking about, I never heard of that. And I build schools. I mean, I'm working with the school system, but in a different capacity. But I think that that's a conversation we need to be having collectively in all of our communities and our churches so that we can make sure we're involved. That's the same way how we lost. I remember Robin Osher fighting not to lose Roosevelt for the same reason we lost Suncoast.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that, you know, the rest of us, we grow up, we leave, and then we leave the battles to be fought by other people.
Yes.
And there are not very many of us left to fight the battles. But I just wanted to just kind of chime in. I know we're approaching the end of the program, but I really would like to encourage us to continue this conversation because, again, 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 20 years from now, we already know our city is not going to be the same when you look at the development that's happening in the city, the displacement of the people, vacation, right and left. You can call it something different, but that's what it is. It's so subtle. By the time we wake up to the realization of it, it's late.
That's right. Well, let me go back and say this here. Elvin Ferguson is the person who's over that committee, Attorney Elvin Ferguson, and fighting hard that the school board over 15 years ago, before New Suncoast was ever put on the map to be built, and they were going to, where Emma Banks is or where Inlet Grove is, which was Old Suncoast, they were going to give that up, and they were going to build a new Suncoast, not the Suncoast we are talking about now, where you got to have special grades. And see, that's not for the people from Riviera. Those kids, some people go from the new Suncoast, they be coming from, it's a baccalaureate school. And they may come from Bogotone. They catch the tri-rail. And then you have to have a certain a grade level to get you in there. And that's good. I'm not going to fight that. But we need a community school where all our kids at Dwyer, that's a high school right up in Palm Beach Garden itself, right on the south of us, right past Baltimore Street is Palm Beach Lake,
Mr. Calloway, that we're a feeder for them so they can exist and have a community school in their community. And they're going to fight tooth and nail for us not to have a community school in our community because our community is feeding their community. That's the fight.
And you see, because we are a predominant black city, we have to feed predominant all white cities. It's not, how many black families live up in Palm Beach Garden? Not enough to talk about. So you've got two high schools right there. Most of the black kids, they are from Riviera. And on the north end of West Palm Beach, the Palm Beach Lakes, the kids on the south end of Riviera are bused there every day. We have to do better if you know better. Okay, Deborah, give me your final remarks about where we are, no, where we were, where we are, and where you think we should be going. You wanted a historian, and most of all, you're a writer. You went to school for that.
Yes, where we were, I think we had a close-knit community, I would say, 30, 40 years ago. Where we are is we're awakening again and becoming more aware of who we are and also where we are going. And it's up to us to drive this thing and go in the direction that we want it to go. Do we want to wipe out all of the history and all of the contributions that have been made to our city and move forward with a new narrative? Or do we want to tell our own story and keep doing great things and making great strides for a better future for everyone in the city? The direction that the city is going in now seems to be a good one. I've seen a lot of improvements in many areas of the city. We have a long way to go, but it seems like we are headed in the right direction with developments and hopefully creating economic opportunities where there are none for some people right now. So I am hopeful for a bright future for Riviera Beach, improved inclusion in everything, especially in development within the city. And I think we are headed indeed in the right direction with that.
Beautiful. How well do you know Deidre Jacobs? It's no longer Deidre Jacobs. She's married now. I can't think of her, but I've known her for years, and I helped her. She was your acting city manager until you got Jonathan back. But she's over the water program now. She's on the payroll.
Right.
You know Deidre?
I do know her. Matter of fact, I spoke to her Friday. I know her as Jacobs. I don't know her married name. I believe that she's doing an excellent job as the assistant city manager, especially given the circumstances under which she became the interim city manager for the city. She carried us through these the what was it, the ransomware and all of that stuff. She's very good friends with a relative of mine, which I didn't know until the talking with her, and I saw some pictures on Facebook of her mom's 80th anniversary, and I saw a relative of mine at the party, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I've known her all my life." I was like, "Okay, small world."
Okay.
Yeah, I do admire Deirdre and the work that she does. It's a tough job for her, and I know it's very stressful, but I appreciate her stamina in being able to move the city forward when we didn't have anyone to carry us through. She brought us forward with that ransomware thing, especially because I think we were out of commission for almost a month with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the interim utility special district director, that we have clean water right now under her leadership.
Yep.
And
that
I think
is
that
very
she's
important.
Doing a phenomenal job. Yes, water is life,
well,
and life is water. Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why she's like another daughter of mine, she's the, I don't want to encourage her to leave West Palm Beach. She worked for West Palm Beach City for years, and I asked her to come up here. Yeah, I need you to get a message to her. Not only I want her on the show, but I need to have her in a meeting with you when she... The reason why I said that, I keep an eye on the people who really want to do their job and they love Riviera and not going to shortchange Riviera. And you and neither her will shortchange the citizens of the Riviera. And that's what Riviera. It's not so much the land, it's the people. We're forgetting that we need to serve the people. We are not sharecroppers. We have to worry about planting something. And we grow the people, and that's what we got to do. And I need you to come back. I need to put to talk to her about being on the meeting, in a meeting that I'm going to have with you, with the mayor. Sometime I have him coming for about 15 minutes, but Dr. Bopel for 15 minutes, and Doug Lawson. I'll put all that together about the bicentennial, not the bicentennial, our 100 year. I need that, but I also need on the program. So when you get to work, run her down and tell her to call me. She has my number. It's very important.
Okay,
and
I will.
Because everything we're going to be doing now until the end of February is about Black history. And not only that, she went to the same school you went to, up on the hill, Florida A&M. Shirley Lanier and her was roommates. Yeah. But anyway, Ann, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to just suggest to both of you, as Deborah was talking and thought about possibly we could consider doing a student competition, Black history competition, solely from the city of Riviera Beach volumes that she's had 1-3, and run that as a part of, at some point, this 100th year celebration. I mean, every month is Black History Month for us.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just want, because I really think that that's one of the ways at every level we can begin to get the students to read about and study about their own Black history in the city and have a way to keep that in the forefront, and it might be something we could even do every year, maybe sponsored by the city or some other group, because that is how we all learned our Black history. Every year we have to learn about somebody, and you can choose anybody. I think that Deborah has done a phenomenal job, as we know, in terms of doing the research, and we can create a competition for a second, third prize, and have these students do some kind of report or essay or vision board, something competitive to where we motivate and encourage and support them to learn their Black history, even if it's done in the churches. But just wanted to share that thought because, again, we are the city. Like you said, it's not so much about the land as much as it is about the people. So that's all I have. I want to just thank all of our listeners I want to encourage them to please remember to comment, like, and share the show, thing that you're promoting, or if you want to give us the Facebook group so people can follow you and engage with you on social media would also be great. And Mr. Calloway, the same with the Youth Recreation Association, if people can continue to follow the organization and comment and like and share the program.
Well, Deborah, before you make your final remark, although I was in the 11th grade, getting ready to go into the 12th grade in 1955 when Emmett Till was killed, murdered. They had it was a program, a special program the other night on TV. And I would wager that 92% of the black kids right now wouldn't know anything about Emmett Till. What happened in Mississippi back then. Things like that, the story need to be told. Now, we learned all that, and I'm glad you brought up about that because the Urban League years ago, at certain time of year, they had like an Antarctica contest, and they had it all countywide because we had some outstanding young people at our church. Our youth program was just magnificent. Teaching those things. That's why one of the things that we're working with Dr. Drayton now of St. James, we're going to try to get the minister to do exactly what you just said, Ann. Go back and run it through the churches and certain things, and then we'll get the recreation department. See, I know the pandemic got us in a little hole right now, but we need to start putting this together because of George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington, Mary McLeod Bethune. Most people don't know the origin behind that. Sojourner Truth, W.E.B. Du Bois and all that. They don't know who was the architect of Washington, the capital of Washington, D.C. Black people. See, we can't, and it's not a black on white thing, but it's my responsibility of a man who was born on S Avenue 84 years ago in an all-black community, wasn't allowed to go across the railroad track after 7 o'clock on the east side unless I was over there working. I understand that, and I understand where we are now, but the history needs to be told, and everybody needs to bear the cross and be proud of where we are, where we're going, and what we're trying to do. That's my final remark.
All right. Thank you both. All right, Deborah, Mr. Calloway, thank you. And we will see everybody right here, same place, same time, 2 p.m. Eastern time on hashtag I Am Riviera Beach Podcast. And until then, we want to wish everybody a healthy, happy week. And everybody remember, hashtag I Am Riviera Beach.
And stay safe.
And stay safe. Thank you. All right. Good day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.